Hello and welcome to Not Couple Goals, the podcast where we talk about the best and, let's face it, the worst in romantic thriller cinema. I'm your host, Tyler McCarthy, with my co-host,
Allie Nelson. And this episode, we are talking about the 2009 erotic thriller Chloe, starring Julianne Moore, Amanda Seyfried, Liam Neeson. And that's all I'm going to say for the cast, because that's the main three. It was directed by Atom Egoyan? And
Egoyan.
Written by Aaron Christina Wilson, based on the motion picture Natalie, written by Anne Fontaine.
That's right. So if you haven't seen the 2009 movie Chloe, consider this your spoiler alert. Pause this podcast, go watch it, and then come on back, because we're going to talk about everything. Yeah. Even that scene. Okay, Allie, that was a movie.
I feel like this is right in our wheelhouse.
This is definitely a Not Couple Goals movie.
Yeah, I've been planning to watch this movie just by myself for funsies for a long time. Like, I would, like, hover over it a lot, but I just never got around to it.
Really? What made you not go into it? Were you saving it for the podcast?
No, I because it's been out since 2009. I just think, like, I would just get interrupted anytime I was, like, gonna watch it.
This movie requires your undivided attention.
You know, or, like, I would think of a different movie that I, like, slightly wanted to watch, like, mm-hmm. more.
Do you happen to remember off the top of your head, like, a time you were like, I'm gonna watch Chloe, and then what you watched instead?
I think, I can't remember, like, what I watched instead. I think it would always be, like, maybe a more timely one, or, like, a goofier one. And, like, I would sort of be like, wait, you know, because of the cast for this one, I would be like, is this gonna be, like, really serious, and it's not gonna be fun? Like, I knew it was, like, an erotic thriller, so I was like, is this not gonna be fun because of the quality of the cast? Because it's, like, you know, solid cast.
I too, because of the quality of the cast, like Julianne Moore, Liam Neeson, Amanda Seyfried, I really thought this was gonna be, like, a more highbrow, like, Oscar baity experience.
Yeah.
But this was delicious romantic thriller garbage. It's exactly what we like to talk about, exactly what we like to watch. And I was surprised by that, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Julianne Moore, I do think, like, is a fantastic actress. So she gives, like, an Oscar-caliber performance in, like, any movie she's in.
I love
her.
So
you're watching her in, like, 9 months, and you're like, you're too good for this movie.
And that's why when I saw she was doing this, and, like, you know, and that she's got, like, a lesbian relationship, I was like, oh, this is, like, a swing at awards season. But no. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, because our first segment on the podcast is always we talk about what we expected from this movie going in. I'll go first just because I was completely unfamiliar with this movie. I was going in at zero. We fell a little behind. We had some scheduling snafus. So I literally came home from work and was like, what movie should we do? Allie said Chloe. She went to queue it up. I had to have her repeat, like, what did we go with? And she's like, Chloe. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. So I was at zero. This is probably the coldest I've gone into one of these episodes with. But you seem like you've got a little more of a robust relationship with this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I just that I knew that there was, like, I've read the summary dozens of times on, like, when it was streaming on different services. And I would sort of hesitate because I would be like, okay, this sounds sexy, but, like, again, is it going to be, like, a drama? Is it going to be, you know, like, some, like a marriage story or something? And
yeah.
Am I going to have no fun watching it? So then I wouldn't watch it because I'd be like, no, like, maybe it's, like, because it clearly didn't do super well where people were like, you have to watch this. It's, like, amazing. And it kind of just came out and was forgotten. So I had this feeling of, like, well, maybe it's just one of those middling sort of dramas that's, like, not fun to watch, but, like, also, you know, not super notable. So I kept stopping myself, but then I would see, like, you know, romantic thriller and be like, maybe, and, like, the story of it sounded sexy. But I kind of also thought that because of the, you know, usually when you have, like, really famous people in the cast, you're not going to get, like, graphic sex scenes. And so I was like, so it's not gonna, to me, I was like, it's not going to deliver on the sexiness either, because if it's with these people, it's gonna, like, you pull back and all of that, because usually you don't see, like, these people getting fingered and stuff.
Yeah, but no, we got Julianne Moore being fingered. We got Julianne Moore masturbating with a shower head. The movie opens a little like Eyes Wide Shut, where it's like A-list actress, topless. Like,
yeah.
They really side go boob. For it in this movie. I saw some nipple.
A bit of side boob.
Side boob, yeah, but tasteful no. side boob.
Yeah. Yeah, your initial reaction, I said, oh, boobs, because we immediately turned it on, and you said, ah, I like this movie.
Okay, that's rewriting history a little bit. My wife is classing herself up a bit. And something I love about her is when we do watch movies or something like that, like a frat boy, like when someone's topless, she'll go like, boobs, woo!
She's no, I said it. Boobs. I
She's doing it as a joke, but it really makes me laugh. You were underselling how funny you were.
Well, I know.
I won't have that in this episode.
I was calm in this one, I think. I was like, oh, boobs.
No, you were like, boobs.
I don't remember it like that.
I do. It was funny and cute.
Yes.
So before we get, I have a question about this movie, but before I ask it, Allie is just, for those of you who ignored our spoiler alert or those who watched this movie when it came out but need a little refresher, Allie's going to give us a brief recap of what Chloe is about.
So Julianne Moore is a gynecologist. That's somewhat relevant. And she's married to Liam Neeson, and she suspects that he's cheating on her. So she hires prostitute Amanda Seyfried to see if she can tempt him into an affair and then report back to her. And that's, you know what? That's all I'm going to give. Because that's what I knew going in.
Okay.
Are you a diehard Marvel zombie who compulsively rewatches every movie and TV show you can get your hands on from the House of Ideas?
Or are you a new or lapsed Marvel fan looking for an excuse to finally catch up on what your buddies have been going on and on and on about for as long as you've known them?
Then folks, do we have the show for you?
Head over to the Pop Break Today podcast feed on all your favorite platforms to check out myself, Bill Botkin, and my co-host, Alex Marcus, on Bill vs. the MCU, where we review every single installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Along with a journey around the Marvel multiverses, where we check in on MCU-adjacent content like Netflix's The Defenders Saga, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Fox's X-Men franchise, and so much more.
New episodes premiere the second Tuesday of every month on thepopbreak.com and the Pop Break Today podcast feed. My name is Bill Botkin, editor-in-chief of thepopbreak.com.
If you want to check out a really awesome new podcast, we have been invited to AEW media calls with AEW owner Tony Khan. And you can now find the audio for all of those podcasts now on the Pop Break Today feed. So every time he's talking about something AEW or something Ring of Honor, you're going to hear it. So yeah, you can check myself or Kimmy Sokol. We'll be every quarter over on the Pop Break Today feed.
I mean, you can give away the usually we go through the whole movie.
I think it's more fun to just talk about it.
All right, let's go for it. I think the thing is, my question, I might end up spoiling it right from the get-go, because my question to you is, was this movie fun to watch? Because I'm waffling back and forth on that.
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, I like, obviously, I like trashy movies.
Yeah.
And, like, this was, like, a classier trashy movie because it did have good actors, like solid actors in it. And even so, like, it, like, there were like moments of where I was like, oh, I hope, like, you know, I was like, oh, I hope that while Amanda Seyfried is like having this affair supposedly with Liam Neeson, that eventually I do hope it, that she has like a lesbian affair with Julianne Moore. And it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. It delivers on that, you know, like it's like,
oh, of course.
And then it's like when Liam Neeson and Julianne Moore's son like gets involved, and I was like, oh, I hope she has an affair with him too. You know, like it's like that kind of stuff where I'm like, yes, the creepiest, trashiest, weirdest things.
Ironically, like the one she graphically described having an affair with is the only one she didn't have an affair with.
Yeah.
But so I think that's kind of what made the movie a little hard to watch for me, was because and I fully blame the director for this. The first thing that Julianne Moore has Amanda Seyfried do is meet her husband in the cafe that he regularly gets lunch at. And you see her like go, she cleverly like borrows sugar, goes back to her table, and then it cuts away. And then everything that is described by her later is like, yeah, it's the camera on Amanda Seyfried and she's describing it. It's an exposition dump. And it is so apparent that she is lying.
Yeah.
It is so apparent throughout the rest of the movie. And there's like four more scenes where she explains what she did with Liam Neeson, and you see Julianne Moore imagining it and getting all hot and bothered.
But not all of that's, it's also like, that's inconsistent, because like when she's describing it to her in the hotel room, she doesn't imagine it. We don't get little flash. So it's
it's not always a flashback.
So it's sometimes we just see Julianne Moore getting like turned on by listening to it.
Right.
And having that inconsistency, I think, is also like poor directing.
Agreed. And so it's just, as a viewer, if you know the visual language of movies like at all, yeah, it's so apparent that she's lying and that there's going to be this big twist where she never actually seduced Liam Neeson. And like, sure enough, that happens. And then about 10 minutes later, the movie ends.
Yeah.
So you are watching the whole time feeling like you're smarter than this movie. And it turns out you are. And that was like a bummer for me. It was a little great performances. And I worry that they're the only thing making this even remotely watchable, because yeah, everyone is fucking killing it.
I think it's watchable on like that trash level.
Yes, I agree.
I'm honestly surprised that this movie, you know, like this, I said to you, and I'm sure it probably came up when you were doing trivia, but like I said to you, like the thing that I remember this movie being notable for is that Liam Neeson's wife, Natasha Richardson, like tragically died during the filming of it.
Yes, and
that,
sad.
You know, probably is why he doesn't have as many scenes, I imagine, as he would probably have with Liam Neeson if he was your male lead in a typical shoot. And
also, just to say, given the circumstances, he does a pretty great performance.
Yeah.
Even though his heart clearly could not have been in it.
Yeah. But
understandably.
So, but that's, you know, one of the big things I knew about, maybe the biggest thing I knew about this movie. And you know, it's very sad because she was a very talented actress. It's a very sad story of what happened. But I am very surprised that this movie isn't more notable for the fact that there is a graphic lesbian sex scene between Julianne Moore and Amanda Seyfried. I'm surprised that that's not famous.
I do feel like there is a large contingent of probably mostly men who are very aware this scene happened, but couldn't tell you what movie it's from or...
Well, like, yeah, because it's like on Pornhub or something. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not like I haven't been on porn sites. I've never seen this come up when I've searched, like, sexy lesbian sex scene, you know, like...
Let's move on.
Oh, so you have? I had no idea that this scene existed. So you were speaking from experience.
No, I was speaking hypothetically for other men, dirtier men, worse men.
So
Chloe is a 2009 dramatic romantic erotic thriller.
Show me your browser history.
Starring
right
Liam Neeson and not Chloe Grace Moretz.
What is going on here?
Know.
You lost your mind thinking about porn.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You dirty, dirty mind.
See, this is what I was afraid of when we got into this.
No, see, it's because you started saying nonsense.
That's it. I was just trying to move on like a good podcast.
Well, no, so you made it worse.
And I ended up being like NPR's fourth most, I guess, head-injured host.
But, I as somebody that is a connoisseur of graphic sex scenes and specifically... lesbian sex scenes, I would like to think, especially with notable actresses, I was surprised to not have known that there was a graphic female.
Is that title on your resume? Because it should be.
I wish that it would get me. I mean, I feel like I get turned away from jobs, and you know, that just shows the homophobia in society.
We're looking for someone who can do transcription. It says here you're a connoisseur of lesbian sex scenes involving famous actresses.
I wish.
How does that experience help you in this role, do you think?
Oh, it'll help you.
Okay, Jesus Christ. So, to your point, it is interesting that this movie is not more famous because of the big names that are in it and sort of, you know, for better or worse, what they do. You know, we have access to some, like, search engine tools where I work, and the sad thing is you like punch in a male actor and like, yeah, you get people asking about what movies they've been in, blah, blah, blah. You punch in a female actor and you have to go like three pages deep before you stop getting like Amanda Seyfried nude, Amanda Seyfried feet, Amanda Seyfried movie where she's naked. Like it's gross. And it's literally every like female actress, reality star, whatever. So it's weird that this isn't more famous, but I think part of that has to do with there are a couple things in movies, particularly this genre of movie, that can really detach you and really give you a case of the not populars. And that is, one, if it's just like not super well written and a bit of a slog to get through. And I think in this one, I don't know if I blame the writing or directing, but the fact that you saw the twist was telegraphed from such a mile away does make it kind of not fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And two, this movie, as you mentioned, it's based on a French movie.
I think so.
And, you know, there are elements in this movie that are very, like, European and detached from, like, the American way of life that I think are noticeable to an American audience and maybe, like, removes them a little bit. Like, just, like, they're always meeting in a cafe. He gets lunch every day at a cafe where he reads the paper and just the sexual dynamics, and it's a depressing story about late marriage and things like that. It's all, for lack of a better term, very French. And I can see why, like, an American audience would maybe have trouble connecting with this, and why we'll get into it in trivia, but a lot of its success was mostly on, like, Redbox and, like, renting, word of mouth, art house stuff, which, you know, good for it. It ended up being profitable in that way. But, yeah, that's why it didn't necessarily get the, like, big theatrical box office success that maybe it was hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, so I think what is fun about a lot of romantic thrillers and erotic thrillers is, like, especially, like, the ones that know that they're not going for an Oscar, is, like, the camp element. But because this had too much talent in, like, at least, like, the acting side of things and was taking itself so seriously, it wasn't camp. But the dialogue at points was, like, because it's not camp, it's just stupid. Yes. Like, it's just not how people speak. And, like, like, even just the way that it opens on Julianne Moore, she's a gynecologist, she has a woman in stirrups, and she does the, like, least a thorough examination I've ever seen of anyone.
Yep, that's a vagina, all right.
Yeah, and then she asks the woman, first, the first question she asks her is when she got her first period, which is, like, never a question I've been, like, I get, when you're, like, you have a uterus, you, the first thing you always get asked at the doctor, you could come in for a hangnail, and they're going to ask, when was your last menstrual period? Or menstruation or whatever.
So they ask when your last was, but never your first.
Yeah, they'll go, like, when were you last menstruating? And you'll, and, like, when was the first day of your last period? And you'll have to be like, I don't know, start doing math. Or, like, I do, like, keep track. So, you know, like, sometimes you got to go, like, hold on. And you got to keep track. Or just guess wildly. But she asks, like, what age did you get your first period? I've never had that asked in a doctor's office. I don't think it's relevant.
She's talking to a full-grown woman, and the caliber of their conversation is very much like this full-grown woman is a child.
Well, so she asks her that, and then she asks her about contraception, and the woman indicates she doesn't use any, and then she's like, well, I've never really even had sex. Like, I've barely had sex in my life. I've never had an orgasm. And then Julianne Moore describes, like, what an orgasm is to her, like, the science behind it.
A series of muscle spasms.
And, like that emanate from the clitoris. And then she's like, I'll give you some pamphlet or some information to take home. Don't know if that's something your doctor, I don't know if your doctor would, I've never tried to talk to my doctor about orgasms. I don't know that a doctor would be like, here's how you masturbate, you know, like.
Would you not, so if you were having trouble having an orgasm, or you were experiencing a pain or something like that, having an orgasm, would your gynecologist not be the person you'd bring that to?
I suppose I would. Like, you know, like, I have talked to gynecologists about, like, pain during sex, but I've never, like, been like, hey,
where's the clitoris?
Can you help me improve my sex? Well, like, I don't know where the line is there of where they can't even help you because it's like a sexual harassment thing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. And it's also that scene, it felt disconnected. And maybe I missed something. Maybe I wasn't, the movie just started, so maybe I wasn't paying the attention I needed to. But it felt like she was like, Julianne Moore, as the doctor, was saying, like, when was your first period? Are you trying to conceive a child? And the woman said, oh, God, no. I've never had an orgasm. And I wrote down in my notes, like, does this woman think that you have to have an orgasm to conceive a child? Because then Julianne Moore is saying, like, oh, there's nothing magical about it. Like, I'll give you some literature. But, like, they kind of gloss over the whole, like, she's like, I'm barely having sex.
No, I think she was explaining that that was her intro to her explaining that she barely ever has sex. Because she doesn't enjoy it. So there's no way she could get pregnant. I don't think she was like, oh, I have to have an orgasm to get pregnant. I think she was like being like, listen, lady, I can't orgasm, so why would I be having sex? Okay.
She has had sex before in order to figure that out. So when Julianne Moore was like, are you trying to have a kid? And she's like, oh, God, no. And she's like, I've never had an orgasm. It was me being like, I was confused.
Yes.
I'm tripping over my words, but I was confused. But I guess you're right. So she's aware that she doesn't like sex. Presumably she's had a gynecologist appointment since figuring that out and is now able to comfortably tell Julianne Moore, no, I'm definitely not pregnant. I don't have sex because I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Glad we got to the bottom of that. To return to your point, though, after the Saltburn episode, I want to get off of my understanding of sex as soon as possible. We got emails.
Understanding or lack of understanding,
ignorance, whatever. I know vaginas.
Well, but
to your point, though, I wanted to say another example of this movie sort of having detached dialogue and things like that is 100% Amanda Seyfried's opening narration, which this also bugs me too. Narration never returns. It's just for the opening. Mm. It sets up a language of the movie that is then never returned to. And Amanda Seyfried's a fine actress. That voiceover, it sounds like they were like, here, read it off this page. She does it once cold, and they're like, you know what, we got it, we're just gonna use that take.
Yeah,
they did her dirty in the edit.
Well, also, to be fair, like, I have to imagine they were filming like circa 2008. Like, Mean Girls came out in like 2004, so like, she's not at the era of acting she's at
when
now.
Was Mamma Mia, because that's I think what had her take off.
No, but yeah, I mean, like, Mean Girls was her, like, you know, breakout.
But I feel like Amanda, I feel like she was, like, a supporting in that. I feel like Amanda Seyfried, the star actress, the movie lead, was Mamma Mia.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, she's only, like, 4 years out from who she was in Mean Girls. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's not, like, nowadays the way that we think of her, where she, you know, she did a really capable job in like The Dropout and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, she's grown a lot, and we've like kind of watched her grow through decades as an actress, so I feel like it's a little hard to like hear this narration from 2008 in this, like, you know, not well directed movie.
I believe it was 2009.
Well, I mean, like, they were probably filming in 2008. Yeah. It came out in 2009. So she's giving this performance from 2008, and we're thinking of her now. It's like, yeah, she could have done a better job. I also do feel like it was another sort of, like, the director can tell you, hey, let's do a different take, you know? Like,
that's what I mean. I feel like that wasn't her best. I don't blame her for that being bad. I feel like they didn't... Seeing what this director did with this movie as a whole, I feel like the director did her dirty, the edit did her dirty.
Yeah.
She's more than capable, even in this movie. She's got some really great scenes.
Yeah. It was also just it is a weird opener to not really come back, like, properly. You know, like, it's like she opens with saying, like, how... Basically, she's a prostitute. Like, I'm a, like, a nice way of being like, I'm a prostitute. Like,
and a saying, damn good one.
Saying how some guys are going to want me to be their daughter. Some are going to want me to be their secretary. Some are going to want me to be their seventh grade math teacher. Like, mm-hmm. You know, all these different things of like, and I'll be all of them. I guess now that I think about it, it does kind of come into play because she's tasked by Julianne Moore to be a specific thing. The other thing, though, is that, like, so Liam Neeson's intro that comes right after Julianne Moore's, and this is what sort of, like, made me be like, uh-oh, and, like, why I could see that this movie, because it was, like, the boom-boom of, like, Julianne Moore's intro being super weird, yep. And then immediately we cut to Liam Neeson, and he's, like, he's a professor of music or something.
Or something, it's not clear.
I guess that he is a professor of music. He's talking about Don Giovanni and, like, all of the lovers that are mentioned in that opera. And then one of his students is like, hey, can we take you out for a drink? Like, in the
for
middle
dinner.
Of
dinner, it was full dinner.
Oh, yeah, for dinner in the middle of his lecture. And then he's like, oh no, it's my birthday, I gotta get home. And then the class, like, the class of adults, college students, sings him happy birthday.
I wrote in my notes, this is like that kind of scene that just escalates and escalates until eventually, like, the main character wakes up and you find that he's been dreaming. Like, the whole class cheers for him, they love him, all the women want to take him out to dinner, they're happy about his birthday, and then he wakes up and is, like, lonely or something like that. But no, it's real. In the reality of this movie, this class, where he was a guest lecturer, was, like, cheering for him and wanted, like, happy birthday.
Yeah. It was so surreal. Like, it was so surreal that it went from, like, he's talking about, he's like, hey, who knows what the song's about? Like, what language? And then what's the song? And, like, people are like, oh, the lovers and blah, blah, blah. And then, hey, can we take you out to dinner? Oh, it's your birthday. Oh, happy birthday. You know, like, and it's like, yeah. What is going on? Like, he's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And it's just,
totally,
like,
totally appropriate.
So surreal. Like, I was like, this... It feels, again, it was like where I was like, oh, this feels like it wants to be camp, but like it's can't because of the actors doing it. Yeah. And because it's not filmed in that style, it like is, it's filmed in a way where it's taking itself seriously, but it's like the dialogue is camp.
It's actually like the real life version of that Liam Neeson sketch he did with Ricky Gervais where he's like, we're going to do some improvisational comedy.
Yeah. So I immediately was like, oh goodness, this is not what,
yeah.
This is, I was actually, I guess, in some ways more excited once I was like, felt like I was off the hook for watching like a really like dry drama, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh goody, like this is gonna be weird.
Yeah, and then she's planned that whole party for him, and then the party scene too, it's exactly like something out of a classic romantic thriller, romantic erotic thriller or something. All of their friends are there. They're exchanging quippy dialogue. She's got a male friend who just is always talking about sex in very frank terms.
Everyone's so horny.
Everyone's... It's like, a people French that movie. Should be, it's a
but
French
people
movie.
That should be just normal are, like, so... Like, it's like their waiter... Their waitress Every comes over.
Every waitress.
The waitress comes over to take their order, like... And, like, yeah, their friend is, like, already horny. He's like, oh, you changed your hair, Julianne Moore. And she's like, yeah, my husband didn't notice. And he's like, well, men like hair... Because she's wearing it up. He's like, men like hair loose because they want to pitch it around their... Around their what?
Yeah.
Their penis? Like, I don't think men are picturing my hair around their penis.
No, like, if I'm picturing receiving oral sex, when I look down, I want to see, like, a beautiful woman, not just, like, a mound of crazy hair.
But was he thinking, like, what was the end of that sentence? Around their hand? Around their bot, like, I don't know.
Around their, like it's Mad Libs now, we're trying to figure it out.
Well, that's
no,
what I mean, like.
He's gotta mean crotch.
I guess he doesn't mean, like, wrapped around. Like, he just means, like, hanging out around there?
I guess.
Whatever it is, like, that
when
sentence
she's down
makes
there,
no
just
sense.
Hanging out, yeah.
Wrapped around does not make sense. Does that, it mean wrapped around their hand? Because that's also not erotic. It's like, are you pulling my hair? Like, which I guess is some people are into, but it just...
Oh, maybe like wrapped around their hand,
yeah.
Doing doggy or something like that.
It's too many steps to figure out what he means.
I agree. Finish the sentence.
Yeah.
Just finish the sentence. You've already said, when her son comes home, he's like talking about his girlfriend, and he's like, she's probably going down on him right now. But now suddenly we're timid about the hair comment.
Well, also, like, gross. Like, don't say that to his mom.
Yeah.
And like, they just went up the stairs. Like, there's no way that they could have been getting down
to
business that fast. So, yeah, they get to dinner, weirdo guy who's too sexual immediately, and then the waitress comes over, and she's, like, sexy, but not, like a Hooters waitress. She's, like, a sexy, like, classily dressed waitress.
And she's young.
Yeah, and she's, like, a young redhead, so she's almost, like, a young Julianne Moore,
yeah,
sort of thing. And Liam Neeson's like, well, what drink would you recommend? And, like, then he gets the, and she's like, oh, I like this drink.
The bust in the mouth or
yeah.
Some shit.
And then he orders what she got. And it's like, oh, it's so weirdly horny for, like, it's like, we've just started this movie. Why is everyone so horny?
Yeah.
Why is, like, why is the friend horny all the time? Why is the waitress horny? Why is Liam Neeson horny?
Who's this girl that, like, is with the friend?
We get no intro to her, and she's basically naked.
Julianne Moore goes to the bathroom and meets Amanda Seyfried in another horny scene. She leaves the bathroom, and they're sure enough, they're talking about sex and who's with the prostitute in the restaurant and all of this stuff. And it's like these people can't escape the topic of sex, which makes the movie, like, unrealistic in some ways. Like, even when they're talking about their son, it's like coming back to sex.
Yeah.
It's so weird. The son just won't stop having sex.
And yeah. It's like I love talk. I talk about sex all the time.
Yeah.
Like, to the point of where it's definitely like, there are people that didn't used to want to hang out with me because they'd be like, I don't like to talk about
one time. Sex, you get asked to leave a church one time, and now Allie's like, oh, I can't talk about sex anywhere.
No, that's not me. But I don't know what you're thinking of. But I was like, this movie is unrealistic. I talk about sex with, like, everyone. And I was like, I couldn't imagine everyone around me being this horny. Like, I would be like, you guys have an issue.
It's not like just talking about sex. There's nothing, because they're supposed to be, like, in the world of academia, and she's a doctor. Like, they're intelligent people, and there's nothing wrong with just, like, talking about sex as a concept. It's not just that, though. It's like that everyone is horny. Everyone wants to have sex. They're watching their friend and his date, like, actively being like, we would rather be fucking than being here at dinner with you, but we're gonna do it anyway. Like, it's everyone is just like experiencing everyone else's sex life.
Well, and speaking of the son, so the son has not yet graduated high school,
right?
But he's about to, so we have to imagine he's about 17, 18.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend has spent the night or is in the midst of spending the night when Julianne Moore, like, sees her go back into the son's room, and she's like,
with no bottoms.
The first time she sees her go in and she's got bottoms on. But
I thought she didn't.
It was in the middle of the night.
I thought she was in, like, a state of undress.
No, it was in the middle of the night. And that was the issue. And she's like, hey, she can't be here. And then the son just slams the door and, like, locks it. And she just, like, accepts that. And I was like, I don't know if this is just, like, is this a white person thing, or is it a male son thing, or is it not a realistic thing? Because if this happened in my house, if I had, like, a boy or a girl at 17, 18, when I was living under my parents' roof that I was clearly, like, having sex with, I couldn't just shut the door and my parents would be like, okay, I guess we'll talk about this tomorrow.
Guess she's spending the night.
Mine would have kicked down the door so hard and then, like, fought me.
Yeah, if I came home and, like, didn't say hi to my mom the way he did and just zipped upstairs with my girlfriend, my parents would have been furious. My dad would have been like, is that how we respect our mother in this house?
But even, not even just that, though, like, if you had your high school girlfriend over in the middle of the night and were clearly, like, boning her, and, like, they went to, like, tell you, hey, can't do that, and you shut the door, they wouldn't just give up, I imagine.
A shut door might as well have been, and that's how you lose a door. Like, a shut door means nothing, and God forbid I locked it.
And then in the morning, that's when she sees her, like, in a state of undress.
I do want to go back and watch, because I'm pretty sure she's in a state of undress when she walks in at night. I think she's never fully clothed, but for when she first
walks in. No, her clothes are sort of rumpled, like, they've clearly been fooling around, but she's, like, not wearing bottoms. Like, she's wearing underwear and a shirt when she walks out in the morning. That's when she's like,
I think she's also in underwear and shirt in the nighttime scene. We'll have to
she's
check.
Not
we'll check.
I know.
All right, you could be right,
but so that the girlfriend then feels so empowered to, like, walk out in her underwear and t-shirt in the morning. And, like, I can't imagine, not only are you, like, flying in the face of, like, haha, we're having sex, and, like, clearly that bothered her, like, Julianne Moore, like, to then be like, oh, I go out, when I'm under, and then she catches, and she's like, oh, good morning, tee-hee, and then she's like, your mom just saw me naked, and it's like, I would not be tee-heeing this.
I'd be mad at her, like, how about a little tact? We're obviously breaking some rules here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was wild. That was absolutely wild.
And all he has to do is say, well, Dad knows this is happening. And it's like, what?
So now we can get into this, because she was like, oh, your dad knew? Well, okay then. And I spent a lot of this movie not really understanding Julianne Moore's motivation. You know, it seems easy. She wakes up, she discovers the text messages that he was lying about missing his flight and was out with a younger woman and all that. And so she's
takes a picture that is not a selfie with that girl.
Yeah.
That the girl then sensed. I was like, what fucking picture there, is
there's
this?
There's a lot of weird emailed photos in this movie. We'll get into that in a sec. But you think it's an easy thing. Like, okay, she's a woman. She's scorned. She wants to know if her husband is cheating on her. And she's going to figure it out. So she enlists Amanda Seyfried. She seduces the husband. But then she's like, still into it. She's like, keep seducing my husband. And she's clearly getting like horny, like listening to how she's being seduced and all of that. And I am a little like, okay, but like, what's your motivation? Do you just want to get off to this or what? And they're never explicit about any part. And then finally in the end, she says that she's so obsessed with her husband and she loves him so much that hearing about another woman seducing him at her behest makes her feel close to him.
And it's, well, because like, they didn't have any sex life at right. this point. But
that's not like a 5 minutes before the movie ends reveal. Like, I don't know about you, but I didn't understand her, what was motivating her or what was turning her on or anything like that. It's a French movie.
Well, so she wasn't having Amanda Seyfried like seduce him over and over again. Like, the first meeting she has her have, it's like Amanda Seyfried reports back like just a flirtation,
right?
And then the next one is like a hand jibber,
right? And which then, she sent her to do. She was like, the flirtation wasn't enough, see if you can get him to hand jibber,
to cheat, basically. Like, can you get him to cheat? And it's doesn't seem like she was like, yeah, full on, like, jerk him off. But, like, then
that's where it went.
It seems like Amanda Seyfried just took it upon herself to, like, improvise and was like, no, we did a hand jibber.
Whatever your job, be enterprising.
So, and then Julianne Moore then wants to know, I think, if he would have, you know, penetrative sex with her. Mm-hmm. And that's why she, like, does the last one where she's like, hey, yeah.
In the hotel.
See if he'll, like, fuck you, basically. And then that's, like, the last time she, like, hires her out for that.
I guess.
So she just wants to see how far he'll go.
But it's also, she's clearly getting turned on by this, too.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why until she explains it in the end. And it wasn't a very relatable explanation, I don't think. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are out there totally get this. But for me, it just felt like, it felt disconnected. I didn't fully get it.
I disagree. I actually did think that that was one of the more interesting parts of the movie. And that did kind of ring true, where it's like she was hearing about him still having this passion inside that she had not experienced for like years with him. So I think it was like getting to live in those moments. She was feeling closer to him than she had in years and like still able to see that he had the sexual side, but he was still untouchable to her because she didn't know how to access that with him.
Right. I get all that. What I don't get is why that drove her to Amanda Seyfried instead of him.
Because Amanda Seyfried knew, in her mind, Amanda Seyfried knew what it was like to be touched by him. And so she says to her, before they hook up, she says, how does he touch you?
Ah, okay.
And I think she was trying to get, and like Amanda Seyfried, I think, is trying to touch her the way that, or in her mind, she's asked Amanda Seyfried to touch her the way that her husband has been touching Amanda Seyfried.
Okay.
And so it's like she gets to have this, like, that's where this, it's all kind of muddled, where she is now having this, like, it's all getting confused because Amanda Seyfried's bringing her all of this sexual energy, but in reality, she's really just still into her husband.
Okay. I guess it's not relatable. Not relatable is the wrong term, but it's not so common that I feel like the average viewer just picks up what they're putting down in this movie.
Well, I think it's a cuckold is actually like a weirdly common kink.
But is that what's happening here?
I don't think it's like a traditional cuckold, but I think like that energy,
it runs in that family.
Yeah, like people, like there's a lot of people that like to go to like sex parties and watch their partner like hook up with somebody else, like things like that. And you know, that's
to each their own.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that this is like a similar energy of like probably the same reason people like that is like maybe kind of what.
Yeah, I guess you don't hear about a lot of lady cuckolds.
Yeah, but I was thinking that like when she was like, she was having a very strange masturbation scene. Like, I get that she was using like the shower head and stuff, but what was strange to me is that she's like pressed up against the glass of the shower.
Yeah.
In a very uncomfortable position with like, it seemed like she was masturbating with her left hand, but then her left hand was up on the glass and her face, like the right side of her face was pressed up against. So it's like, who's masturbating while pressing the right side of their face and their left hand up against the glass of the shower? Like basically like having their body against the shower, but then also still using the shower head to masturbate. What?
Tweet at us, not couple goals, if that's how you get down in the shower.
It just seemed also that she was like bent in a weird position where I was like, this doesn't seem like comfortable.
What I found interesting about that scene too is that, like, Amanda Seyfried says in graphic detail, and she kind of describes, like, she kind of gives him an awkward, like, over-the-pants hand job. Her hand is in his pants, but, like, an awkward, still fully clothed hand job. He comes in her hand, it's kind of messy, and then he walks away. Julianne Moore goes home that night, gets in the shower, and she's picturing this passionate, like, make-out and blowjob and, like, all of this stuff. She's embellishing the story a bit so that she can masturbate to it, and I thought that was weird, but, like, understandable. But it was also another moment where it's just like, okay, so this didn't happen. This is imaginary. Everything in the, atrium or wherever they were is imaginary.
Which was a weird that they kept going to, like, a botanical garden. Like, a hidden area of a botanical garden. And, yeah, and then it's like they do that like, juxtaposition of, like, he's getting a blowy from Chloe. And he's putting his hand against the glass of the window. And then it's like in between scenes of her up against the glass. And I get that that's what they were trying to do. But it just physically, I don't think she could have fit a shower head in the way that her body was twisted. It didn't make sense. It was very strange. It's just for the sake of filming it, but you got to keep the realism. Like, otherwise I'm out of the scene and being like, how is she masturbating?
How is she not falling down? Yeah, it was weird. This movie, it does have a lot of like really sexy scenes. Like, everyone's willing to get naked except Liam Neeson. But again, he's going through some shit. And also, he's the one person in this movie who doesn't have sex ever.
We don't see him have sex.
Yeah. But like, everyone gets pretty steamy with it. And it's good, but again, it's just everything was telegraphed from a mile away. Even the goddamn hair clip. That's another thing. I didn't get why Julianne Moore would wear the hair clip in the end.
I think in a weird way, like, that whole thing with Amanda Seyfried, like, saved their marriage. So I think maybe she wears the hair clip because it's like, that was a very meaningful experience that happened. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to give the movie too much credit and they were just like, weird.
Well, I kept wanting them to cut back to the kid and Liam Neeson because they have this interesting moment where like they all lock eyes from across the room at his graduation party. And Liam Neeson seems happy to see Julianne Moore. She seems happy to see him. Like, it seems like their family dynamic and their marriage is repaired. And then she turns around and she's wearing the hair clip. And I really wanted to cut back to Liam Neeson or the son so that I could know if they're either happy about it or horrified. But instead, it just hangs there and I don't get the significance of it.
Yeah, if I was the son, I'd be horrified because I'd be like, what the fuck? Why are you wearing the hair clip? Liam Neeson, I could see being more understanding because like Liam Neeson is like super understanding of once Julianne Moore like tells him like, let's lay it on the table. And then she explains why she had her like sexy tryst with Amanda Seyfried and like tells him all about the deception and how she'd been like listening to the what turns out to be fake sex stories from Amanda Seyfried. He like grabs her and makes out with her and they like passionately make out. And it's clear that like, it's like harkens back to like where Julianne Moore said earlier that they used to like, if one of them had an appointment, the other would like wait outside the appointment for them. They would be like so excited to see them. They spent all of their time together and he has to go back to work, which is all he does this movie. His job is 24/7 for somebody that just seems to be a music professor.
He like leaves her. They have this like marriage repairing makeout session. They clearly need to fuck, but he's like, I don't want to leave you, but I have to go back to work. And then they cut to him at work and he is a part of a 5-person stuffed shirt panel listening to some hippie talk about music who's like clearly a job interview to be like a professor there or something.
And it seems like it's 10 at night.
Fake sick dude, like, go home to your wife. Like,
yeah.
There is no way your 1/5 input here is that fucking important.
But it's like, it seems like it's like 10 at night. Like, yep. He's never away. Like, he's never with his wife in this movie. Like, yeah. Every single time they interact, he's like, oh, I gotta go to work. It's like, he misses his birthday because he doesn't, like, want to celebrate his birthday. And then the next morning, she's like, well, you know, we're gonna have a party for you. He doesn't at any moment, like, say, like, that's really sweet, or like, thank you.
He's
a dick about it. And then he's like, okay, I gotta go. And she's like, well, you're not late right now. And he's like, I'm gonna get coffee on the way. And she's like, it's like, dude. And he's also like, I'm gonna be late tonight. And it's like, so you're not planning on celebrating your birthday at all with your wife. And then,
well, and his reasoning is, oh, I don't want to celebrate getting another year closer to retirement. You have an unhealthy relationship with work, sir.
Yeah. And then when he is at home, the only time we really see him at home, he's IMing his students and like giggling like a weirdo in his office. And then he has like a conversation with Julianne Moore at one point where he's like, oh, what happened to us? And they like hugs him, and he's like, gotta go to work. And it's like, dude, when are you not working? Like, when his wife finally does stay out all night and like has an affair and he's upset about it, I'm like, at what point were you like, did you think it was going to be okay for you to never spend any time with her? And then you're like, how dare you have an affair? Yeah, it's not cool to have affairs, but like, man, you have not spent more than 30 seconds with her this whole movie.
And also too, he's like, when they are finally like putting their cards on the table and confessing things, she's like, you fucked like this, like other women. And he's like, no, I didn't. I flirt with every woman I meet. I flirt with 18-year-olds. I'm tempted by everyone I meet, but I don't.
And I do it in front of you.
Yeah, I do it in front of you. I am flirt with my students all the time and it makes me a good professor. But I've never actually fucked anyone. And it's like, okay, but those aren't not problems, dude. Like, that's...
You got an email from your student being like, thanks for the drink, XO, and, like, sending a picture that you let her take of the two of you together. Like,
yeah, and, like, you can't be doing that, man. In the opening scene when he's like, oh, I would let you all take me to dinner, but it's my birthday and I've got a flight home. Like, if I'm his department head, I'm like, I'm sorry, you would let them take you to dinner? That's not okay.
I don't know. You're allowed to have dinner with your professors.
It's a line. It's a weird line.
I guess.
That he's clearly crossing because he's clearly just going out with all the women and flirting with them at bars and taking photos and buying them drinks and stuff.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's not healthy what he's doing.
No, he's a horrible husband.
I want to circle back because there was one moment you talked about briefly that, you know, you glossed over it for the sake of expediency, but I really want to dissect this one scene where Julianne Moore makes him come to the diner. And she's hoping to ambush him with Amanda Seyfried. And, like, Amanda Seyfried shows up, and this is how we reveal our twist, that she never actually seduced him.
And I like the way that she goes, she has that, like, she walks in, and then she's like, backwards, yep. And she kind of just, like...
She, Jake Johnson moonwalks out of the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Liam Neeson gets pissed off because he's like, look, you asked me to lay my cards on the table. I did. And now you're going to tell me nothing. You're just going to say, it's over, let's move on. So he storms off. And I'm like, at this point, I don't know why Julianne Moore isn't spilling her guts. And then eventually she has that realization too, chases him outside. He's like about to get into a cab. He sends the cab off and she's like, starts to explain everything. She gets like 4 words in. She's like, I hired this woman to seduce you. And, you know, then her and I ended up and blah, blah, blah. And she's like 4 words into that before Liam Neeson is like, this is ridiculous, and starts to walk away from her. And I'm like, how are you not hanging on every word of this? You stormed off because she wasn't confessing to you. Now she's confessing. It's very interesting and fucked up. And you're like, oh, this is dumb. I'm out of here. It's like, first of all, where are you going? Second of all, how do you not want to hear the end of the story, man? This is your life. This is your marriage.
Well, I mean, I guess I would be pretty upset if I found out that you had hired a sex worker to fake seduce me to see if I would cheat on you. Like, I would be like, okay, man, like, I need to, because that's not what he expected to hear. So I can kind of understand being like, what? I'm taking a second. But then here's the thing.
But it's clearly act one of a longer story that he does not want to hear, which is baffling.
Well, what's funny to me is, though, when he actually does let her tell this full story, his reaction is then to make out with her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very confusing reaction, because it's like, you're finding out that your wife had sex with the sex worker that she hired to try to seduce you. It's a lot of information to get in a short period of time. And he's like, let's make out.
Well, I get it. It's crazy good news for him because he spent the past day thinking she is having an affair with another man, and she doesn't say no when he's like, are you in love? So he thinks she's about to leave him for another man. And then to find out, oh, no, 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 I just hired a female prostitute because I was so obsessed with you that fake stories of her seducing you got me all hot and bothered and made me feel close to you. And then her and I hooked up once. I'm kind of like, you know, all things considered, that's not so bad.
I'm still not making out with my partner. I'm like, well, maybe being like, we, okay, I think I can work through this, but I'm not like, I guess in a weird way, he's turned on the way that she got turned on by the fake seduction stories that Amanda Seyfried was like selling her on.
Yeah.
So I guess like, he's like, oh, you also have passion for me. I guess this is like, that's now yeah. that I'm kind of reading it in my own head.
She's kind of telling him like, essentially, I'm way paraphrasing here, but she's essentially telling, I went insane because I didn't know how to seduce you anymore. I didn't feel like there could be passion between us because I'm old now and you can do better. And like, that drove me insane. And he, meanwhile, has clearly been sitting here and he's been hinting the whole movie, like, I want to get back to where we were with you. Like, why don't we pick each other up at the airport anymore?
Well, he keeps hinting that, but motherfucker, because you don't spend any time with her.
You don't spend any time with her and you flirt with other women in front of her. So yeah, he's not a great guy, but he's clearly been wanting this from her for a while. So I get him making out with her in that moment. It's, hey, this news is not as bad as I thought it was. Hey, my wife is super horny for me.
Yeah.
I'm super horny for her. Like, let's do this.
They also have more problems than just this weird thing. They're like, he lied to her.
Yeah,
like,
their son is a loser.
Well, but like, Liam Neeson like lied to her like very freely. Like, he purposely misses his birthday because he doesn't want to celebrate it. And he doesn't know about the surprise party. So it's not like she threw him a party and he'd been like, no, don't throw me a party. And she threw one anyway or anything like that. He doesn't know about the surprise party. And he thinks he's just skipping out on celebrating his birthday with his wife and son.
Yeah.
Like, that is unforgivable. He instead goes out with like a young woman and gets drinks with her. Again, like, not okay. And then, like, lies and says, oh, I missed my flight. Like, you missed it on purpose, you dick. And then when Julianne Moore is, like, reading into it and, like, reading between the lines and is like, hey, did you miss the flight on purpose? And he, like, gaslights her and, like, tries to make her question her own instincts and is like, well, why are you asking? At the end of the day, all that matters is I missed it. What does it matter how I missed it? And it's like, okay, so now you're being a dick.
He said, it doesn't matter if I missed it intentionally or by mistake. The point is I missed it. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Of course that's not how it works.
And then she asks him, did you get drinks? He says no. And she's like, did you go out with anyone? He's like, no. And it's like, so he's fully lying and like definitely like crossing a line of like, you cannot go out with young women and then lie about it. That is actually, I would say, probably cheating in most people's books, whether something physical happened or not. And then so he pushes her so far to then be like, hey, you know, why don't we do this stuff like constantly? It's like, because you're a dick, man.
Yeah. And not to, also one thing you're leaving out, too, is when he does come home and discovers that his wife went through a lot of work to plan him a lovely surprise party that was very public that he like humiliated her about. He is not apologetic in the slightest. He further gaslights her to be like, you know, I don't like to celebrate my birthday. Like, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, dude. For someone who knows what to say to every waitress, every class, every student, you have absolutely no idea how to talk to your wife.
Yeah. So he's a dick. Yeah, the son is like a weirdo.
Before we get into the son, I do want to talk about one thing, which is that another like failing on the part of the director, I think, is they didn't do a good enough job. They very clearly show when Liam Neeson makes that call and he's like, well, I missed my flight. There is a New York City yellow cab labeled New York City yellow cab in the background. He is in New York City. They don't do a good enough job of establishing that this surprise party and his home and Julianne Moore's like practice and all that are in Ontario. I had to wait until I could get a good glimpse at one of the license plates in the movie, like 20 minutes later, before I figured out, okay, so this, he wasn't lying. Like, I thought that they were trying to say like, oh, he did catch his flight. He's just not going home. They live in New York. He's just not going home. He's doing something else. And like, That was like confusing. They need to do a better job of establishing what city he was in and why. The most you get, because someone at the party is like, oh, I guess he was down there like doing something. He's got to come back up here. He mentions up and down geography. And like to see him in New York, for an American, it doesn't get much more up than New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yes, I know Maine, sorry. But like, I was confused. I was very confused. I thought they were establishing that he did indeed catch his flight and that he was a liar.
Oh, I didn't think that. I just thought, like, oh, he's going to go out with the students.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I assumed. Because I think there were, like, students behind him. I was sort of like, yeah, he's going to go out with
the
students.
It looked like one of the students behind him. Yeah, but I assumed he had students, like, in his home where he lived. I didn't get it. But let's definitely talk about the son. The son who really, really thought this was his movie.
The son who gets laid more than anyone else in the movie, to be fair.
That's true.
But...
Well, I guess other than Chloe.
Yeah.
Same body count there.
That's true.
Two.
Yeah. So I got very excited it's gross, but I love when it gets like really trashy and weird in these movies. So when Chloe catches the son, like sees him and is like intrigued because she already is clearly weirdly obsessed with Julianne Moore. And is like, oh, I'm going to make my intro. And it's like, yes, please seduce the son at some point. Like, because it's so gross. It's so weird. The son is so dumb. Like, she's so weird all the way through her, like, interactions with him. Where she's like, you look like your mom. Like, you have your mom's eyes. Not, like, the shape or the color, but, like, the same look as her. And it's like, that's weird. Because he thinks his mom is her gynecologist. So it's weird for anyone who's a patient my mom's your gynecologist and you're like weirdly obsessed with her eyes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When you're 17 and you've just been dumped and you're that horny, Amanda Seyfried could have come up to him and said, I'm a prostitute who your mom hired to seduce your dad. I've been lying about it, but describing these graphic scenes to your mother, who's clearly getting off on it. Now I am obsessed with your mother sexually, and I'm hoping to use you to get to her. A horny enough 17-year-old would be like, yeah, that's fine. What do you want to go back to our place right now?
Yeah, I guess like 17-year-old boys, I could see that. I mean, even me, I will say, not that I would have been not cool with that, but... when she shows up randomly at the house at the end, and it's clear that she should have no way of knowing where he lives, and he's like, oh, like, playing guitar, like, any, like, weird Bieber haircutted 2009 teenager, I also would have let in, like, 17-year-old me would have let in Amanda Seyfried
it's
and been
magical
like,
romance.
We're gonna have sex? Sure. Like, I would have been, like, into that, too. So I get that. The weird your mom's eyes and like the way that like later on she's like, oh, I liked that picture on like basically your MySpace of like your mom, and he's like, my mom's not in any of my pictures, and she's like, oh no, she's in the background of that one, and he's like, yeah, I guess she is, but she's like out of focus, and she's like, yeah, I notice things. It's like, I would catch on, like, dude, you're way too into my mom.
That was also a weird scene because she's just like, oh, I hate the internet. Like, no one just, like, meets her organically or anything like that. And then in the next breath, she's like, I noticed that one picture on your profile where your mom is slightly out of focus while you're at your music recital. And it's like, okay, so you are tech savvy or you're not?
It's so weird.
Are you analog or digital, lady?
And then the way that you said, like, the son thinks that this movie is his... I hated the son for multiple reasons, because he's super rude to his mom, and he's blatantly having sex in front of her disrespectfully, although she should be establishing more as a parent, like,
agreed.
Don't do this.
As a parent, Julianne Moore, you're allowed to kick in that door, throw the lady out the window, out the windows that are very not secure in this home, by the way.
It's also weird. I hated the Julianne Moore doing. I even, like, usually we try not to make too many comments during the movie, but I made a comment because I was like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, he's getting dumped by Nina Dobrev, and then via FaceTime, basically, like, on the computer, like, Skype. And the mom, Julianne Moore hears it happening and is eavesdropping outside of the door, and then opens the door to get a better involvement in this, and like, of course Nina Dobrev sees her and stops talking, and then he turns and he's like, mom, get out. And it's like, What, did you want to be involved in this breakup?
Where was this nosy, no respect for the door boundaries, like, when Nina Dobrev was there in person and they were fucking?
But it's also, like, she doesn't, like, open it a crack to, like, hear better or anything.
She fully
She opens it and, like, kind of, like, just stands in the doorway. And, of course, no. What do you think you're doing?
That's the one time I was on the son's side, because he's, like, crying about a breakup. He doesn't understand.
He's mid being dumped, and his mom's like, I'm going to stand here and be a part of this. Like, it's so weird.
Nina Dobrev, by the way, doing, like, an okay job of, like, giving him a good enough reason to break up with someone. Yeah. He's not taking it well, obviously, but, like, she's doing the work. She's like, I don't want to be tied down. I'm just not feeling it. Like, all that. Like, she's being honest.
It's so, so that's a weird Julianne Moore thing. But then later on, Julianne Moore, after she's cheated on Liam Neeson, and they're having, like, this big marriage argument.
This marriage argument. You know, that's not a word. It should be. That sounds like a word.
Well, they're having this big, you know, who is this person? Are you in love with? And she's like, well, what are you about you and all of the people you're fucking? And, like, they're going back and forth. And the son comes down and is like, hey, blah, blah. And they're like, go back to your room. And he's like, you can't boss me around. I could be out here. And it's like, dude, they're trying to have, like,
this isn't about you, kiddo.
They're trying to have, like, a real come to Jesus moment in their marriage. This is a turning point in their marriage, and you're, like, throwing a tantrum on the stairs because you want to be involved, or either you want to be involved or you're like, you can't tell me not to stand here.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, let them have this argument.
If your parents are fighting and, like, no one's getting aggressive or abusive, like, you sit at the top of the stairs and eavesdrop, you little pill. You don't go downstairs and get involved.
And then be angry that they don't want you to stand in the middle of their weird
this
sex
fight
argument.
Has nothing to do with you. It's about sex and their sex life and mom's having an affair. Like, you are so not the priority right now.
And he throws such a tantrum, and it's like,
I can't wait to get out of here. And it's like, yeah, we can't fucking wait for you to get out of here either. You little shit.
So we can have a conversation with each other.
Clearly you've caused strain on this relationship.
Yeah.
And then even in the end, he's still a bit of a sad sack about Chloe, like, having sex with him presumably months ago, and then, like, it was all a ruse to get to his mom. He's, like, still sad about it. And it's like, I don't know, man, get over it.
I don't blame him for that. Like,
just one night you got laid.
No, I was thinking, like, at the end, Amanda Seyfried comes because Julianne Moore has, like, rejected her, and she's obsessed with Amanda Seyfried. Yep. Amanda Seyfried's obsessed with Julianne Moore. So, Julianne Moore rejects her and is like, here, I'll pay you off. And then she's like, well, I'm, like, she goes and takes it upon herself to go and seduce the son. And she has sex with the son. And the son's like, look at me, look at me. She's on top. And she instead is looking at his mother's wardrobe and, like, orgasms while looking at his mother's shoes.
Yes.
It's fucking weird as fuck.
I think that's supposed to harken back to how they met. All they could see was each other's feet in the bathroom stall.
I'm sure, but it's just so weird that she orgasms while looking at the shoes.
Also, too, the, like, I don't know, you're 17, you're super horny, you're excited this woman's here. The whole, like, look at me, I want to connect with you. It just didn't ring true.
No, he would have been done long before even getting it. He would have been like, look, done.
He would have been done long before, and, like, again, I just feel, like, totally cool if she wants to stare at my mom's wardrobe.
Yeah. She's getting a feel for the layout, I don't
know. Just be happy to be in the game, kiddo. You're 17.
There's boobs in your face.
Yep, exactly. You're 17, this woman is clearly here for nefarious purposes. Let's just finish what we're doing and deal with the aftermath. The aftermath, too, I thought it was so funny. The way Julianne Moore comes home, finds Chloe in bed with her son, freaks
out.
In
the parents' bed, which is so gross.
In the parents' bed. And, like, the 17-year-old's like, oh, crap. And it's like, yeah, you didn't think your parents were going to come home at some point?
Yeah.
Did you think they were out for the night? How could you have fallen asleep? How is it late enough for you to have had all of this sex, fallen asleep, mom has made it back home, and dad is still working? Anyway, Chloe gets out of bed. She kicks the son out of the room.
No, Julianne Moore kicks the son out of the room.
Julianne Moore kicks the son out of the room. Chloe gets out of bed. And then Chloe starts telling Julianne Moore, like, your son, like, he's just so much like you. And I feel your same energy. And I really think we're close together.
You had a lot of the same mannerisms. So yeah, when I was having sex with him.
She said some of the little things he does, clearly meaning, like, sexually. And it's like, I'm sorry. Is this how you think you're going to get back in Julianne Moore's pants by describing that you fucked her son and it was kind of similar?
She's clearly crazy.
Still, though. So, like... we've seen a lot of crazy in this. Like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction would not have been that crazy.
Well, I kind of appreciated that level of crazy where she was like, I felt you in him when I had sex with... Like, she literally says that.
Yeah.
And that is so weird and creepy. And then she's still trying to, like... kiss Julianne Moore's hands and be like, oh, yeah. We like try to grab her face, and it's like, your hands have to smell like her son's penis. Like,
it would have been funny too if like Julianne Moore was into it and then Chloe was the one being like, wait, really? It's your son. Like, okay, whatever.
Like, it's so weird. And the son is again being like, I get this one more than the parents fight that he wanted to be in the middle of, where like he gets locked out of the room and then he's like trying to break into the room. I still feel like, I don't know. You heard Chloe start being like, did you think you could really reject me to your mom? You have to assume there's something weird happening there.
True, but I do get him wanting to get back in that room. At that point, I would be like, listen, this woman just mysteriously showed up at the house, had sex with me, and now she's clearly describing some kind of relationship with my mom. I have a dog in this fight, and someone has some explaining to do.
But I'm also putting pants on. Like, he's, like, in tighty-whities trying to fight back into the room.
Going through this weird labyrinth. They have such a romantic thriller house.
Yeah.
It does not look like any livable space. It does not look like anywhere. It's, like, boxy and sterile and hollow and...
No warmth, yeah.
There's glass walls everywhere. People don't live in homes like this.
Except in, like, Parasite.
Yeah, if you do live in a home like this, I'm sorry for you, because there are some psychosexual games being played within your home, and if you're not aware of them, you're the dumb 17-year-old son. I'm sorry.
And then it's kind of funny, just, like, how he walks in on his mom, because he walks in on this weird, like, knife to the throat, except it's the hair clip. Hairpin.
The second you see the hairpin, it's like someone's getting stabbed with that because it's knife-sized.
Yeah, and it's sharp. And so he walks in on, like, Amanda Seyfried using the hairpin as, like, a knife and, like, stabbing his mom a little and then saying, like, I just want you to kiss me. And then they're kissing. And then the mom... And then Julianne Moore catches her son's eye and is like, ugh! And, like, kind of shoves Amanda Seyfried away. And Amanda Seyfried knocks into one of their glass walls, which immediately just... At the slightest knock, just falls down.
Those should be able to support a human being, like, running into it, because it is a glass exterior wall.
I knock into walls in regular houses all the time.
Yeah, their weird, like, Salvador Dali architect has some explaining to do.
Yeah, because she barely falls back into it. It's not like it was a huge, crash, like... The whole pane falls out.
The wood glue that this exterior wall was supported by finally gave out,
I guess. It fell out so flimsy that it was just like a panel. Somebody had been like, we'll put it in later. It's fine. This one's just for show. And it knocks out, and then I did laugh really hard when she just lets go of the side of the pane to just like kill herself and just like falls slowly, like cinematically, because it's so goofy. And it's like she's got that like happy look on her face as she does it.
And then dies from like a second story fall, which, all right.
Fine. Sure.
It can happen. It can happen. But all right.
But when they cut to the next scene, which is clearly like the son's graduation party, which I don't think would be that long after because he was graduating like soon. I was thinking, this is when I did feel for the son. I was like, there is no amount of therapy that would ever be able to help you. Like, you had sex with this woman, then immediately found out that your mom had had sex with her the night before. This woman only had sex with you because it was the closest she could get to having sex with your mom again. And because it was having sex with a part of your mom to have sex with you. Then you walked in on her kissing your mom, and then she committed suicide in front of you. Like,
I don't know. Rough one night you had there, kid. Have your parents buy you an Xbox as penance and move on.
Really? I think I'm the next, like, Ted Bundy. Like, it's like, you're murdering, like, redheaded women that look like your mother. Like, you are so fucked up from, like, the last person, this person, you shared a woman with your mom, and yep. somebody had sex with you because it was close to having sex with your mom.
And the embarrassment of, like, he probably does suddenly see all the red flags and, like, the whole, like, finding the photo of his mom on Facebook, looking at the wardrobe, the showing up, the talking about in the office how you have your mom's eyes. Like, all of that probably is clicking in his head after that, too, and he's got to be like, oh, I'm stupid.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he had the post-nut clarity of, like, this is weird.
Yeah. Oh, man. And again, what time did Dad come home from work?
Yeah, because Dad works 24/7. He's got, apparently his job is imperative to life. Like, if he stops working for 1 second, the world will end.
Was the wall repaired on the exterior shot of the house on graduation day? Because I'm sure it was, but I would have loved if there was still caution tape on that part and they're still hosting this graduation party.
Yeah, because he does seem to be the only one not happy at the graduation party, but I did not blame him for that. And that's also why, like, before she has sex with him, Amanda Seyfried, like, kisses the hairpin, and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, just, like, then she's like, titties.
The hairpin that he thinks is his mother's.
Yeah, it's because it's on his mom's vanity. And then she's like, titties. And I get why he gets distracted, and he's like, oh, titties. Yep. She doesn't say anything. She just is like, boobs.
And again, 17-year-old, you're like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Is there anything else of my mother's you'd like to kiss to remove your pants? Like,
but then he sees his mom wearing that clip at the end, and we don't get don't get his reaction.
Exactly.
And that's weird.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot of this movie, but now I'm curious to get into our next segment, which is your personal favorite, best moment, sexiest scene. What do you think was just, like, the best part of this movie?
I mean, the lesbian sex scene is the sexiest, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, sexiest moment in the movie. I actually, like, in the genuine way, did like that end conversation between Liam Neeson and Julianne Moore. I thought it was really well acted. Like, it was, like, very genuine and felt very relatable, where she's saying, like, each year, like, you know, I think it's a common theme with women where it's okay for men to age, and a lot of men, they're seen as, like, silver foxes. They're seen as more attractive as they age. Yep. They've gained more wisdom. And women, it's the opposite in society. They're seen as, like, they have to do everything they can to try and look young. Like, you have your most equity as a woman in your 20s, and, like, you know, it falls after that. And she's saying, like, with each year, with each wrinkle, with each gray hair, you're getting better looking, and, like, I'm old and all of that. I really liked the way it was delivered. I mean, she's gorgeous, so I was like, Julianne Moore,
you are not the best messenger for this, because, even, like, in her scene with Amanda Seyfried, who's, like 17 years her junior or something like that.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, they look quite good together.
Like, I even was like, is she old enough to have, like, a 18-year-old son? Yeah. Like, I was like, so she looks great, but that, and I thought, like,
but maybe that's part of the point too, if even someone like Julianne Moore feels this.
Well, I it's also just, you know, they're always hiring actresses. Well, it's like they would hire somebody that's like 35 and be like, yeah, she's got a 30-year-old son. But that was really well acted, and I thought, like, they had really good chemistry in that moment. And, like, when they did end up kissing, I was like, oh, that's, yeah, like, that felt like a couple that hadn't kissed in a long time, like, macking it.
And again, worth pointing out that must have been a very difficult scene for Liam Neeson to have to film as well.
Well, I mean, who do you know when certain scenes were filmed?
We'll get into it a little bit, but we don't know when certain scenes were filmed, but he filmed everything in a couple days.
Oh, okay.
Everything for this movie. So he was it was a tough shoot for him. So sorry, you know, to Liam Neeson for all that. For me, I think I may be giving the movie a little too much credit here, but there was what I read as a misdirect, but it could have just been more bad storytelling. But it was the moment where Julianne Moore, after she's had her affair with Chloe and said, like, look, I don't want you to see my husband again, and is kind of trying to walk back the whole affair because she feels guilty. She shows up to work the next day and she's got a bunch of messages from Chloe. She's got an email from Chloe where she has taken a photo of them naked in bed together.
And with Julianne Moore sleeping. Julianne Moore,
emails it to her. And then she's in her office. And after Amanda Seyfried's, like, opening like dialogue where she's like, I can be anyone I need to be, like, I'm good at what I do, even the, like, how long I leave my hand on your shoulder is calculated and things like that. I thought when she sent that email, I was like, oh my god, she's gonna blackmail her, like, this is some kind of blackmail plot, this is some kind of extortion plot, like, she's conned Julianne Moore, because yeah, she lied the whole time about Liam Neeson. And then she shows up, and through their conversation in her office, it becomes clear, like, oh no, Chloe's just crazy. She thought that she was going to enjoy that nude photo of them. She thought that it was okay to contact her office that many times and show up the next day with flowers. It was like, oh, this is your I won't be ignored like moment, like this.
Well, it turns out the whole plot was just to get
to
Julianne Moore.
And again, so that's either bad storytelling or it was a planned misdirect, but either way, I remember being the most captivated during that scene. Even like Chloe gets crazier by the end of the movie, but that was the one where I was like, oh, she's crazy.
I like the picture is funny, is that like it doesn't look she doesn't do this, but it kind of looks like as if you would like taking a selfie with somebody, like with your thumbs up, like she's like
while they're passed out.
Yeah, like sleeping Julianne Moore and like awake, like Amanda Seyfried. There were two things that one, I think my brain started to like think like this can't just be like, yeah, I've seen this telegraph the whole movie that she was lying. So I started being like, Is it going to turn out that it's like a double bluff and Liam Neeson is involved with, you know,
wild things action. Yeah, I thought that too.
I started trying to like give the movie more credit. And then the other thing that happened, it was like a very silly moment for me, was when it went from Julianne Moore and Liam Neeson kissing and having like their makeup. And then it cut to like Amanda Seyfried and she's like letting her hair down. I thought for a moment she was actually there seeing them because she had been at that cafe. I thought that was her seeing them get together. And that was sort of her being like, oh, well, my job's done here. Like, I was like, wait, is this what she plans to, like,
get me? She goes to another bar. There's another middle-aged woman being like, my husband would like you.
Yeah, and she's like, somehow she planned for this to, like, get them back together and, like, get the spark back in their marriage. And then when it pulled back and she was at the house and she was going to seduce the son, I was like, oh, okay. That just makes way more sense.
Or like, she goes around a corner after seeing them make out and the son hands her a wad of cash and it was just the son trying to get his mom and dad back together.
It was just, like, for a moment I was like, wait, is she letting her hair down? Because she's like, another job done.
Dusts her hands. Okay, well, I'm excited. I want to get... There's not much trivia for this movie, but what I have, I'm excited to get into. I think just it's worth referencing and mentioning at the top, because it is very sad. In the middle of March 2009, Liam Neeson interrupted filming of his scenes in order to visit his wife, Natasha Richardson, who was in the hospital after she had a skiing accident. The brain injury she received in the accident led to her death a few days later. Just a few days after her death, he voluntarily returned to set to complete his performance in the movie. They changed elements of the script accordingly. It's unclear what they changed, but they did make some accommodations to make the story a little more palatable for someone in his mental state. And then Liam Neeson completed his performance in 2 days, and the entire film was shot in 37 days. So I don't know when that final scene conversation with Julianne Moore happened, but I have to imagine there's a high likelihood that this had already happened to Liam Neeson and he's filming this scene anyway, which, look, did this movie necessarily merit someone putting themselves through that mental turmoil? No, but honestly, I respect Liam Neeson for getting back on set and finishing the job after.
I do remember reading like an interview where he said that it kind of helped him to have something else to focus on.
I'll bet. The writer, when she wrote this movie, had Julianne Moore in mind. So that's always fun to see when, like, that's a good get. This is Amanda Seyfried's first nude scene in a movie. And you do get to see her breasts, and there is no immediate indication that they can tell the weather. It's a little Mean Girls joke for you.
Yeah.
So you understood it and just didn't laugh. I understand. It wasn't great. The company that financed this movie, a French company, said they made up their money in pre-sales alone, and the movie enjoyed a lengthy run on Redbox. It was like top 10 for like 3 months after it came out or something like that.
I'm sure it's Redbox and not like RedTube.
I'm pretty sure it's Redbox, the DVD rental, but I mean, might as well be. We noticed in the opening credits, Ivan and Jason Reitman were producers on this movie, and apparently Seyfried was about to back out and Jason Reitman helped persuade her to do the film,
and then she never spoke to him again.
Let's see. The director's sister taught Max Thuriot, I don't know how to pronounce the name, but the actor who played the son, taught him how to play the piano. So, for no real reason, he was actually playing the piano in that scene.
He does have a piano recital.
Yeah, but, like, it would have been so easy to just not have him learn the piano.
Yeah.
As mentioned, the director's favorite shot in the movie is the initial one of their feet when they're passing the toilet paper. And Amanda Seyfried, it says here that she prepared for hours to do that scene. Hours. And it was the first one that she filmed for the movie. But that's crazy to me because it's kind of a nothing scene.
Yeah, I mean, she has to cry.
I guess.
That's a weird one.
All of Julianne Moore's scenes where she's, like, standing and talking to Liam Neeson, she's standing on a soapbox.
Oh, because he's so tall.
Yeah. And she's shorter. I think she's shorter than she seems in person.
Yeah, I think she might be, like, maybe, like, 5'2" or something.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about the voiceover. I thought this was interesting. Both Amanda Seyfried and Julianne Moore recorded voiceover that would have played over the final scene that gave more insight into the reason for Chloe's suicide from the speaker's perspective. But in the end, neither of them was used, but both endings can be seen on the bonus features on the DVD, which I did not bother to track down.
That would have made more sense. Like, it would have had it open and closed. Like, it, like, holds it together why it opens with a voiceover.
I don't know how that would have worked with Julianne Moore doing the voiceover in the end, but I'd be interested to see how it went down.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Here's something interesting. Amanda Seyfried told CinemaBlend that there was initially a little more backstory for Chloe in the original script that got cut. She said, quote, her mother kicked her out when she was 14. That was written in the script and then taken out. And she never had a father. Everything she does is because she hasn't had anybody to love her, end quote. That makes sense. That's important to the movie. It's why I understand her to not be a con artist in the end. But her opening dialogue, her opening voiceover, where she's describing how she's calculated and manipulative to her clients, does make it seem like she's going to be a con artist in some way. And then for her not to be, for her to just be a crazy person who's desperate for this love, I am kind of like, none of these Johns ever, like, pretended to love you like this or anything like that? Like,
no, she just never, like, she never felt that kind of love until she saw, she was getting, like, the secondhand love of Julianne Moore for her husband.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense. Did she need to be a prostitute in this movie at all? Could she not have just been someone who was in it for the money and fell in love?
Yeah, but I think it makes more sense for, like,
I guess it makes more sense. It's just such a character, like, thing, and it just doesn't come up that much.
I get. I mean, no, it does, because, like, she hires her to, like, have sex with her husband.
I suppose. So there's three things here that are just, we don't normally do this, but there were two bits of trivia on IMDb that stood out to me because they were just bonkers. They just, like, they're not interesting facts about the movie. I was just surprised anyone put pen to paper to write them. So I'm going to read them now. The first is, the white lines on Chloe are actually cream instead of scars or semen.
Yeah.
I know.
She talks about putting lotion on and we see her rub lotion
on. At no point did I think those were scars or semen, you pervy IMDb writer. The second one, and this one, I, like, put stars next to this. During the lesbian sex scene, Amanda Seyfried had to focus on using her fingers vertically. That's it. That's the trivia fact that was on IMDb.
That's weird.
I know.
Was she moving them side to side?
Was the director like, oh, no, you're going horizontal. Let's try vertical. And she's like, let me just work that into my process.
But, I mean, she's...
Okay, you were kicked out when you were 14. Your mom never truly loved you.
Everyone masturbates. She's probably masturbated before. And why would she be doing it weird? Women
vertically. Okay, Chloe, you got this. Yeah, that was a weird one. And then lastly, this was just another one I found. I'm not going to name the outlet because I don't think anyone deserves this. But I did read a Q&A interview that Julianne Moore did to promote this movie, and the interviewer had the gall to, like, ask about the sex scenes and then say, and you know, Julianne Moore was a pro, and she was like, look, we had a great dynamic, we worked together so much on the film and had so many scenes together before we filmed the intimate sex scene, which she said is, like, very important and all of that, and she gave a very professional answer and really talked up her co-star. And then the interviewer said something to the effect of, So, like, on set, what was your dynamic with Amanda Seyfried? Were you guys, like, friends, sisters, mother-daughter, lovers? And Julianne Moore was, like, peers. Peers is a good way to describe it. And then that was the last, then the interview ended.
She was my coworker.
Yeah, I thought that was just so funny. Because I've been in interviews like that, where it's, like, you've got 15 minutes, and you don't realize that all the questions you prepped are 8 minutes, so you kind of just try to turn it into a conversation. So I get it. That's why I'm not naming the outlet. I don't blame this journalist.
No, that's a stupid fucking question.
It was so stupid. It was so stupid.
I do blame the journalist. That's an unprofessional thing to ask.
Yes, it is.
Clearly, like, every time you see people who playing couples in movies, which is in most movies, does this interviewer just think, I wonder if they're lovers on set? Like, I'm no.
Generous read, giving this interviewer the benefit of the doubt.
No.
I've been there. I've never fucked up that harshly, but I've been in an interview where it's like, I've got like 5 more minutes with this celebrity. I got to make it count, but I'm out of questions.
Did he ask Liam Neeson, like, what was your dynamic with Julianne Moore? Like, it's like, oh, you're playing husband and wife. Were you
so your wife died.
Lovers.
What was that like?
Like, fucking stupid. Stupid.
Was it hard to kiss Julianne Moore thinking about your dead wife? Yeah. So.
Stupid.
That was all the trivia. There's not a lot for that movie. I think because, again, you have these actors, but this was a month of their lives.
Yeah.
They came. They hit their marks, they shot their scenes, they acted the hell out of them, and then I think they moved on, and no one was really swinging for the fences for an Oscar. Julianne Moore said she signed on to the movie because she was a fan of the director's previous work. I believe he did a lot of, like, foreign language films.
Yeah, because he spells his name A-T-O-M.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which I did not expect.
But she was a fan of his. They got to talking at the Toronto Film Festival, and then, you know, he passed along this script.
I mean, she's great in this movie. Like, the most praise should go to her for,
agreed,
like, the reason that this movie is as watchable as it is. She's, like, gives a fantastic acting performance. Like, no one could have done better. She's gorgeous and, like, very sexy.
Yeah. You know, and shout out to Amanda Seyfried, too. Like, she's not someone I typically think about as being a particularly, like, amazing actress. But she is. She's a very capable actress. She's been in a lot of good movies. I happen to like Jennifer's Body, even though I recognize it's not a good movie, and she's very fun in that. And she does a great job in this movie, too. Like, she's got some really sexy scenes. She's got some really subtle scenes. And, yeah, it's not easy to play the crazy person as well as she does.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson, again, we've heaped some praise on him. He acted the hell out of this movie under impossible circumstances. The son, I don't know. I'm sure he's on a CW show or something. He's doing fine.
Yeah, seeing just, like, so many of the extras with Bieber hair and, like, the sun, like, it's like, I even at that time was like, I hate this hair. Please stop having this hair.
I thought you told me, I misheard you, and I thought you said this movie came out in 2017. And so I'm watching the first, like, 10 minutes of it being like, are you fucking serious? And it wasn't until she looked at his iPhone and I saw the old OS that I was like, no, hang on, I've got this wrong. And I looked up the date in the middle of watching the movie. But yeah, very 2009.
Oh, yeah, it's bonkers.
Well, I guess that's everything about the movie except for whether or not we'd recommend it. And I'm torn on this one, so I'm going to start with you. Would you recommend this movie?
I would. It's like about 90 minutes, you know, like, I think...
That's true. It did not overstay its welcome.
I think the fact that there is a really sexy scene with Julianne Moore and Amanda Seyfried, I think more people need to know about this, and I'll be spreading the word on that. So I'll recommend it based on that. And I do think, because with so many of these movies, you're like, wait, wouldn't it be funny if... Oh, these two had an affair. Then wouldn't it be funny if then she had slept with the husband? And then, like, wouldn't it be funny if he slept with the son? And so it turns out she doesn't sleep with the husband in this one. But it is kind of funny that she, like, sort of seduces the whole family. Like, misses Liam Neeson. But that kind of, like, it's trashy, weird. And the fact that it has a bonkers ending with, like, that's just, like, goofy and, like, ridiculous. I think it ends up being... And some really... stellar acting work from Julianne Moore. I would say it's worth it on that level. And it's not, like, hard to get through.
Yeah. Something just occurred to me. Should Julianne Moore not be in jail? She pushed her out a window.
She pushed her away from her. And then Amanda Seyfried...
Let go,
I think,
guess.
Maybe the contractor should be arrested for involuntary manslaughter.
As for whether or not, I think I'm leaning more like, no, I wouldn't recommend this movie. If you're a fan of Julianne Moore, Amanda Seyfried, Liam Neeson, then like, yeah, it's worth throwing on. It's watchable. It goes down fine. But, I just think if you recognize the twist that's coming, the movie like does this very obvious twist, takes a bow, and then the credits roll. Essentially, there is like some vegetables in this movie where they have that conversation where they talk about just being late stage marriage and the difficulties and what Allie was saying about like what women have to go through to feel older while men just get to age gracefully and things like that. Those are good, but they're buried in a slog to get through. A lot of this movie thinking it's smarter than you when it's just plain not. And for that reason, it was hard to get through. But there are some great performances hidden in there. There are some really sexy moments hidden in there. But as a whole, I can't say this like was an effective story.
If you like erotic thrillers, like the general boy next door fair, things like that, I think you would like this movie.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those. Feel free to add it to your list in that regard. But like, yeah, we love certain movies on this list that I would not recommend to people. Like, I loved watching, was that movie Out of the Blue?
Which one's
with,
that?
With Jack Nicholson's son.
Oh, I would not recommend that movie.
Oh, that is like such funny, hilarious garbage. But like, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it either. But I loved watching it and talking about it with you. So like, it's one of those.
I wouldn't agree with that. I would say if you like Boy Next Door, Lifetime movies, that kind of thing, watch it. Never watch Out of the Blue.
This is where my wife's connoisseur of the romantic thriller genre attitude comes through. You're being snobby right now.
Don't watch Out of the Blue. Just listen to our podcast.
I do not recommend it, but yeah. Listen to our podcast.
Don't comparing this to Out of the Blue. You'd see rude.
It's fun bad.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't like run out and say like you have got to watch this movie.
But I would actively discourage people from watching Out of the Blue. Just making sure that's...
If Allie hears about a screening, she will be outside turning people away.
Yeah, exactly. I will bat it out of people's hands in video stores if those still exist.
All right, Allie. Well, other than outside of screenings of Out of the Blue, where can people find you?
You can find me on social media. I am on Instagram and Threads at Anal Retentive, AnelRetentive. You can find me on TikTok and YouTube where I post like comedies, stand-up comedy, sketches, things like that. Occasionally just like fun little videos of myself. At Like Willie Nelson, spelled like you would think, Like Willie Nelson. And you can find my writing on parade.com where I cover celebrity news, things like that.
Excellent. You can find me on Threads. That's where I'm trying to be the most active these days, at Tyler McCarthy 328. And you can read a lot of, not necessarily my writing, but a lot of the work I'm doing as an editor on all of the NBC Universal editorial sites. So that's NBC Insider, Bravo, Sci-Fi Wire, USA Insider. Right now I'm doing a lot of work with America's Got Talent Fantasy League. You can catch up with that on Peacock. Chucky is coming back. Like, lots of good stuff happening. And Love Island All-Stars. And yeah, I've got a hand in all of it. And it's really exciting. So check all that out. And as always, check out all of the great stuff on The Pop Break and all of the other podcasts, including the other ones on The Pop Break Today feed.
Special thanks to Mallory Johns for our intro and outro music.
And Alex Marcus, our producer.